contrast to treasures along the country road. And yes, I have Jim Bohannon in studio right now. Yes, and Jim Bohannon, how you doing today?
Doing well, Ann Eller. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Now, you know, one of the stories, since I think that we have an audience here that may not have heard the many times that you've been on the Isle of Ann show and
Sure.
Meet me at the diner, mm-hmm. was, of course, you took over for Larry King.
Yeah, the old Larry King radio show, which he had for 15 years, and then for 11 of those 15, I was his main fill-in, and now I've had the show. It's over 19 years now.
And you're still doing it.
Still doing it. They still haven't figured out that I'm not good enough.
Oh, come on now, Jim. But, you know, one of the things that, how did you end up with the show? I think that's a great story.
It is a wild story. It really is. It has to do with a mechanic who left a wrench in a rocket at Cape Canaveral. Stay with me. This works out. Larry King's radio show came to Chicago, and I was working for the old Mutual Broadcasting System, the station they owned in Chicago, WCFL Radio. Larry brought his show to the lobby of the Hyatt Hotel, okay, borrowed one of our engineers to engineer the show. I found out later the engineer had spent the whole night during the breaks telling Larry what a great guy I was. So I thanked the engineer, thought nothing more about it. That was in early 1981. Now then, in November of 1981, Larry had to have a night off. He was giving a speech. At the time, his backup on Mutual, Jim Slade, was also our space correspondent. He later became the space correspondent for ABC Television. That's okay. He had this rocket launch. And then the next night, Larry was off, and Jim was going to fill in. Well, the mechanic left the wrench in the rocket. Jim was stuck at Cape Canaveral. And they suddenly realized at Mutual they had no bench strength. And somebody said, what about this guy, Bohannon? That is why I am here today. And if I could find that mechanic, I'd buy him a drink. I swear.
Or two or three. Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to share that story with our listeners here. And, of course, you're on from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, right here on WCRS. And, gosh, you're on how many stations across?
The night show, the Jim Bohannon show, is on 300. America in the Morning is on 350. Our weekend show, America This Week, a little 22-minute feature magazine, is on about 100 stations. So if you take out the duplications, I'm on about 500 different radio stations across the country.
Wow. That's power.
Well, it's nice. I mean, of course, Rush is on 660, but, you know, we manage.
Counting?
Who's counting?
Who's counting?
He is.
Absolutely, he is.
And so am I.
Well, we carry Rush, too.
Exactly.
So, you know, you interview people day in and day out on your Jim Bohannon show from 10 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that since this is a country show, we talked about maybe talking about some of the good stories that you can share with us about some of those great country artists out there.
Oh, and it's some wonderful ones, because over the years, I mean, I was a disc jockey. I had jocked, as they say, rock and roll and country.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to meet a lot of these people. I first met Dolly Parton, actually, in 1973, when she was the undercard on the Porter Wagoner show with Dolly Parton. And over the years, I had a chance to get a big hug from Loretta Lynn.
Did you get a big hug from Dolly?
I did get a big hug from Dolly.
How'd that work out for you?
It was okay. I survived.
You suffered through it.
I suffered through it, yeah. I suffered through it. We'll manage somehow.
Absolutely. But, you know, Dolly had a big problem when she left the Porter Wagoner show. I mean, because he didn't want her to leave.
Oh, I know, he didn't. Yeah.
And she wanted to go out, and the rumor was out there that she would not be able to be anything if she didn't stay right there with Porter Wagoner.
Yeah. Well, she, I think, had a greater belief in herself and went forward and did a wonderful job. And among other people I've interviewed over the years, Trace Adkins, who's actually going to be on the America in the Morning show coming up probably next week.
Okay.
Going to talk to him.
Eddie Rabbit, yeah.
I interviewed Eddie, the late, great Eddie Rabbit. I remember Eddie was a little bitter about Nashville. He loved the fans, and of course there are no more loyal fans in all of radio than country music fans.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt that Nashville had become kind of fickle, and he complained about not getting the respect that he thought that as a veteran he was due, because Nashville had become more interested in what's new and what's hot. And Dolly, to a certain extent, was the same way, although less so. Eddie was openly bitter. He really was about that.
What was there? Something about a quote, if you don't put your white hat on.
The direct, I'll give you the direct quote here. Okay, folks, here it is. The direct quote from Eddie Rabbit, I'm just quoting him, is, "You're nobody in Nashville these days unless you got a white hat and a tight backside." That was what he said, sort of.
Sort of.
So, it was interesting to talk to him. Of course, Dolly obviously opened new doors. Dolly was really one of the original crossover artists when she began to have a greater pop appeal, and her song started to appear on not only the country charts, but on the pop music charts as well. And, of course, there are those traditionalists in country music who never really cottoned much to the whole notion of amplifiers and mm-hmm. drums and stuff like that anyway, and they didn't care for her crossover. So it worked out well for her. It opened the door to her movie career and a host of things that she's done. But there are still some purists who feel that Dolly Parton kind of sold out Nashville, which I disagree with.
You've interviewed Dolly Parton.
I have interviewed Dolly on several occasions. Yes, I have.
Is she as sincere as she comes across?
Oh, I do believe so. And I'll tell you, Ann, I've run across a few phonies in the world out there. But as far as I'm concerned, Dolly's as real as you get. I mean, off camera, off microphone, she's just as quick and just as witty and just as giggly and just as flirty. I mean, she's just a delightful person.
Right.
She really is.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, you always wonder about that
yeah.
when you meet somebody and this type of thing. Are they really that way, or are they just putting on an act there?
Yeah, another person that is not country music, but I'm sure he has a lot of fans in the country music world, would be Willard Scott. Willard Scott, an old friend of mine. I know, I've known Willard now for, good heavens, how long have I known Willard? 35 years, maybe, something like
wow.
that. I got to tell you a funny story about Willard, not to stray too far from country music, but his old partner, you know, Ed, the Joy Boys of radio.
Right.
And his partner, Eddie Walker, is blind. And Eddie was, in fact, Willard tells a wonderful story one time. He took a phone call, and this woman answered it, was calling in and said, "You know, I just think you're wonderful, what you're able to do and all, and not being able to see." And Willard said, "No, ma'am, I can see. I'm sighted. It's my partner who's blind." And the woman said, "Well, then you're not so odd after all." And she hung up on him. But we were in Chicago at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Chicago, right in downtown, right in the middle of the Loop on Wacker Drive, and waiting for Eddie Walker to be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. So we're sitting outside, and Willard, whose wife died some time ago, very tragic thing for Willard. They were very close. But he has a new girlfriend. And he and his girlfriend both like to smoke pipes. They just do.
Right. Okay.
And there's Willard Scott sitting out there with his Bermuda shorts and some kind of tacky shirt, smoking this pipe. And this woman sitting next to him smoking her pipe. And I'm out talking to Willard, and about 20 feet away, and sitting on another bench are these two women. And you can tell what the conversation is. One of them saying to the other, "I'm telling you, Matilda, it's him. It's Willard Scott." And the other, no, Willard Scott doesn't date a woman who smokes a pipe. And it was Willard.
Willard Scott, yeah.
It was
yeah.
Willard. But anyway, I've had a chance to meet a lot of these folks over the years. And I remember I helped open the Johnny Cash Theater in Branson, Missouri.
Right. And you got to interview Johnny Cash?
Johnny and June.
Yeah.
I did. In fact, that night, Willie Nelson had just opened a theater, and Willie was supposed to be one of our guests in the Cash Theater. Willie stiffed us. I never did find out why, but he didn't show up.
He probably had a little confusion that day.
Maybe he had a little confusion.
Maybe that would be the way to say it.
He was one toke over the confusion line. That could be. I don't know. But you know what's funny about Branson? Willie Nelson didn't make it there, and Johnny Cash had two theaters, and neither one of them made it there. By comparison, there's a guy there named Shoji Tabuchi. He's a Japanese guy.
Right.
First heard Roy Acuff on a post-war tour in Japan. He said, "That's what I want to do." And he came to this country with like a fiddle and $100 and survived. But in his entire career, he hasn't sold as many records
right.
as Willie or Johnny did on a good month.
Right.
But he packs in, I'll tell you why, because he provides a show, laser lights and smoke machines and choreography. And, of course, all that John ever did was come out dressed in black and stood in the middle of the stage and picked and sang. And the audience in Branson wants a show. So Shoji thrives, and Johnny tried twice and failed in Branson.
And you go back regularly to Branson.
We
usually
do.
Once a year, don't you?
We do. We usually do a show from Branson once a year, and it's great. I've broadcast from all kinds of theaters down there. There was, I must tell you, I was in one theater. I guess we should be kind, not name this individual.
Okay.
But this particular theater in Branson has a picture of the star and his wife right in the very front of the building.
Okay.
Okay?
He's proud.
He's proud. Yes, he is, although you will wonder why.
Okay.
Because as the show goes on, and in Missouri time, the show is from 9 to midnight, and we're interviewed. I remember we had on Andy Williams, who's in Branson, and Glenn Campbell was on one of his comeback tours. And during this entire time, this particular artist, we'll call him MG.
MG?
Because those were his initials.
Okay.
MG is in one of the back booths of his restaurant where we're broadcasting from. In close proximity to a woman who is definitely not the one in that photograph. And and in fact, I interviewed him at one point. He took time out from canoodling to talk to us on the radio. And I remember thinking, I didn't say it to him, but I remember thinking, you know, if that's what you're going to do, you need to take that picture down.
Of your wife.
Really.
So nobody will know who your wife is.
Nobody will know, but yeah, I saw that happen. That was wild.
Those are good stories. Those are good stories.
Yeah.
Hey, how about let's hear a quick song there, Andy, and pick one out and play it, and we'll be right back with you right here on WCRS with the one and only Jim Bohannon.
Hi, thank you.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
I was just telling him we had ham biscuits and donuts here, and hey, we're on right here. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing fine. I'm obviously mouthwatering here.
Right?
Listen, they got everything here. I got to tell you, Sharp Facets. They got the radio show. They got wonderful jewelry, and they got Vittles. Although I don't know that that's a regular thing. I don't know if you come in to buy jewelry that you'll automatically get a donut, but I'm going to get a donut.
Yeah, absolutely, you are. They're made fresh right here at the donut shop, right up around the corner.
That's
here.
That's pretty slick.
It is pretty slick. So while we were listening to that music there, we were talking about Roy Rogers. You were telling me about the car, his souped-up Cadillac there.
Well, I want to get to the car in a second here, but basically, as Roy and Dale got into their later years, Roy had told Roy Jr. that you ought to be able to make some money off this. We were pretty popular. But there's going to come a time when our fans no longer care or are gone.
Too old.
Too old.
Yes.
So Roy Sr. had said to Roy Rogers Jr., make the money while you can, and when you can't anymore, sell stuff off and be done with it. But this is not some burden we're dumping on you. This should be an opportunity. And when it ceases to be an opportunity, well, just move on. So they had been out in the desert with the Roy Rogers Museum out in the California desert near where Roy and Dale owned some land. Well, nobody ever went there. It was 100 miles from anywhere. So Roy Jr. said, you know, if we're going to make a go of it, we got to move to Branson. And they did. They got a great theater or museum in Branson right across the way from the Yakov Smirnoff Comedy Theater. And I had a chance to actually go there. And some of the early pictures of Dale and Roy are just remarkable. I got to touch Nellie Bell, the Jeep. And they had Trigger and Trigger Jr. And Bullet, the dog, all stuffed and mounted. Dale was there stuffed and mounted. I made that up. I made that up. But
happy trails.
Hello to you. But the car that Ann was talking about, they had Roy Rogers' actual car. And I'm telling you, talk about the quintessential cowboy star car. It was a flaming red Cadillac convertible. This must have been about a 1955, 56, something like that.
Right.
And in addition, it had a set of Longhorn horns, and I mean long. These horns were almost wider than the car. I mean, they almost would have scraped pedestrians or cars in the other lane. This is the hood ornament, right? Longhorn horns. Each door handle mind you. The door handles, the exterior door handles of this convertible, were gold-plated 45 caliber revolvers, and you had to grab the handle and squeeze the trigger to open the door. And just wonderful stuff like that. And they had saddles and guns and photographs. A wonderful museum. And I regret to say that I guess it's been about a year or two that they had to close down, that the traffic was no longer coming in, even though Roy Jr. and the Sons of the Pioneers, or I guess the new Sons of the Pioneers, had a show they did every day. But they sold off a lot of that stuff. I believe it's RFD-TV that bought Trigger. Trigger is actually in the lobby at RFD-TV. And they sold, a friend of mine actually bought some old rifles, cock-handle action rifles. They're gold-plated. But fortunately, some of the items were purchased by one of the theaters in Branson, Mickey Gillies, I believe it was. Roy Jr. still performs with the Sons of the Pioneers, the new Sons of the Pioneers, the midday show at that theater. So the Roy Rogers legend lives on.
Isn't that great?
It is great. It sure is. But I'm so honored that I had a chance to go to that museum, because I was one of those kids growing up. Boy, I was Roy Rogers. You better believe it. The King of the Cowboys. That's right.
Yeah, then there was what, Sky King?
Sky King,
there was another one.
There was a great one, yeah. I always watched Sky King. I sure did, yeah.
Yeah, it gave you the idea that maybe you could fly someday,
exactly.
Didn't it?
Exactly, and I wouldn't even need a plane. That's how much confidence it gave me, Ann.
And look where you are today.
Look where I am today, flying. I actually fly out to satellites. At least my voice does.
Yeah, your voice does.
That's what it does.
That's right. All right. Well, we are here with Jim Bohannon, just having a great time here this morning. 66 degrees in the Fair City. It is a little cloudy,
outside.
Now, that's right. But, hey, that's okay. And let's see what it says. It says it's fair.
It's fair. Well, I'd say
they're not right here, are they?
I would say that the app on your phone there is only fair, because if that's fair, I would hate to see their idea of cloudy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are here, and we are having a good time. We are talking with the one and only Jim Bohannon, sharing a few stories here this morning as he comes through. Understand you're headed over to Horse Country over there in Aiken.
We're going to head over to Aiken. That is true. One of my original bosses at the old Mutual Broadcasting, before there was Dial Global, there was Westwood One. Before there was Westwood One, there was Mutual. This was the Mutual Broadcasting System. And an old friend of mine, one of the people who ran Mutual, Jack Clements, and his wife Joan. Jack's got to be in his mid-80s now. And we're going to go see them. They're retired and living on a golf course over in Aiken.
Tough life. Yeah.
Well,
Aiken's beautiful.
That's
Aiken's
what I've heard.
Beautiful.
I've not been to Aiken before, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you're going
to
love it. They have horses, statues of horses throughout the whole Aiken. Yeah, it's really cool.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to be doing that. And, of course, you've been down here in South Carolina. What, is this the first week? You're going to be here another week?
Exactly. This is the middle of our two-week trip.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So. You've been traveling around, seeing different people?
Oh, yeah. Gee whiz, where have I been? I've seen to visit affiliates in Seneca, South Carolina, Walhalla, South Carolina. Next Monday and Tuesday, it's Greenville. I've been down to Gainesville, Georgia, our affiliate down there, and, of course, here in Greenwood. So, yeah.
I read something about you squeezing into a uniform or something.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, a week from today, if you don't have anything better to do, I know it's a hike from Greenwood over to Seneca, but... you can see me squeezed into a military uniform. I didn't realize the bad quality of the fabric from uniforms back in the
60s. They didn't have spandex in them?
Well, they shrink terribly, because I've discovered those uniforms have shrunk beyond all belief. I have no idea how that happened. But, yeah, they dug up a new version of a military uniform for me, and it's a salute to the veterans. It's going to be in the Seneca Gennelet Community Center in Seneca, 7 p.m., Saturday night, a week from tonight, and I'll be the MC with a guy named Wayne Morton, who's a disc jockey up in that area. So if you got nothing better to do a week from tonight, we'd love to have you come on over to Seneca. And you can just contact the Gennelet Community Center in Seneca, South Carolina, and I'm sure the tickets are pretty reasonable. I'm not sure what they are, but and Charity gets a good take of that. So
that's terrific. We are working with. We've got a new veteran center that's being put into our old library here in Greenwood.
Wonderful.
And they've just started. They've already moved in. The Veterans Administration has moved in there, but there's big plans, and we're hoping to have it all done for Veterans Day this fall. And, Carrie, if you're listening this morning, I'm still counting on the tanks and the flyover and all this good stuff to celebrate the new Veterans Center right here in Uptown Greenwood.
What a wonderful thing. So proud that the folks in Greenwood honor the veterans. That's just a wonderful thing that you people do.
Absolutely. So we are going to hear a little bit of news, and Jim and I are going to see how long he's going to be able to stay with us on the air. But don't you go away. We'll be right back. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. News is up. We'll be back. Just having a good time with Jim Bohannon right here on WCRS. And Jim's only going to be with us for a few more minutes, so I thought we ought to take advantage of this time and get a few more stories from Jim Bohannon. Now, Jim, you interviewed Governor Nikki Haley.
I did, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And how'd you find Governor Haley?
I was very impressed. I think she is, as advertised, very articulate, very attractive, and I would have to think that she'll wind up on a national ticket. I was amazed to discover that she's not even 40 yet, so she certainly has skyrocketed to prominence. She will be on a national ticket someday, I do believe.
She is pretty amazing to have done that. And, of course, now all the money that she is getting from her book, which I think she was up there on the book tour is actually going into a foundation to help South Carolina, Original Six.
Which is pretty slick. We like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're actually supposed to be having a book signing. Thanks to you, we got it on the air, and she's in a corner. She's got to do a book signing here in Greenwood.
Wonderful. Well, I did mention you during her time on our program, and she was very complimentary of you, Ann.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. But, so we are looking forward to that. And, of course, she's been on. God, who's the biggest person do you think you ever interviewed?
Oh, the biggest person I ever interviewed. Boy, that would Bob Hope. I've interviewed Bob Hope, which was a pretty nice get. Bill Clinton was pretty big. I think Ted Kennedy's been on the show before.
Many you've missed, then. Is that what you're telling me? Would you like to interview that you've never interviewed?
Well, always the sitting president, which is a very tough get. I would always like to interview anybody who is the president. I would always like to interview whoever is the chief justice. I think the Pope would be an interesting interview. Vladimir Putin. I would like to interview Vladimir Putin and ask him if he really is as nostalgic for the evil empire as he sounds like he is.
And how he looks like he is.
And how he looks like he is. That's very true. So there's certainly a list like that. Anybody who's hot in pop culture, I don't know that I could carry an hour with a Paris Hilton or a Kim Kardashian, but I would at least like a few minutes with them just to find out if they're as vacuous as they appear, or maybe not. I mean, I don't want to prejudge. But sure, there are always people that you want to get on. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, that's cool.
And someday we want to get Ann Eller back on, but that may be asking too much.
Oh, I think we can arrange it.
Think you can arrange it?
That's
okay.
Right. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with Jim Bohannon. You know, we were talking about, of course, this is From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road, and we, of course, are just hungry for all the stories that you can tell us. You got any other great stories in that arsenal there from the archives of Jim Bohannon?
Oh, great stories from the arsenal and the archives. Well, let's see here. I can remember covering the conventions. I know that you are going to be covering the political conventions this year. Going back to the conventions, this would have been 1988, and I remember in particular, this was at the Democratic Convention in Atlanta. I remember Bill Bradley, who was then a senator from New Jersey. This was in the Omni in Atlanta, and I remember he brought the house down when he noted that this was the first time he'd ever been in the Omni in long pants.
Well, there you go.
Which was true. And I remember the Omni really wasn't big enough for the convention. I mean, it really, honest to goodness, wasn't. I mean, granted, the Republicans in 88 in the Super Bowl was a bit large for a convention, but the Omni just wasn't quite big enough, and the fire marshal came in at one point.
Counted heads?
They counted heads, and of course, as close as you can, but they knew how many people were per section, and it didn't take a lot of calculating to figure that the Omni was over its capacity, and so there were a lot of people milling around outside. People were coming in and out and in and out as the convention went on, and the fire marshal at that particular point just happened to close the door, and I happened to be on the inside, or I could have been caught, but I saw who was caught outside.
Who was caught outside?
Do you know who I am? Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy was trying to throw his weight on it. I have to get back in there, you know. And they said, "I'm sorry, Senator. Yes, I know who you are. And no, until somebody leaves, you can't go in." It was very, very interesting.
And of course, cell phones and everything weren't that big then, so you couldn't just call somebody and say, "Come out so I can come in."
No. This was '88, and cell phones. I mean, to the extent that there were portable phones at all, they were portable like the size
phones.
Of a loaf of bread, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody had them. So, otherwise, Ted obviously would have ordered several members of the Massachusetts delegation to step outside while he went back in. But it was an interesting time, to say the least. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, that's cool. How about you've interviewed Reba McEntire?
I have. Reba, wonderful. And her sister, what, Susie? I forget her name. Susie, I can't think of her last name, but I interviewed Reba and Susie. Reba is just a delightful lady. In fact, Reba, one year, was one of the presenters at the Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago.
And you host
Chicago.
That.
And every year I'm the announcer for that. Yeah, so I had a chance to talk with her and Narvel, her husband, and just a delightful radio lady, I should say, and obviously a wonderful personality, but very, very open. She was certainly not a diva. In fact, I did a funny thing there. I went to a costume shop in Chicago, which is where the Radio Hall of Fame is, and I got a red wig. And I came out, actually, and I forget what the shtick was. It was kind of stupid, but I had on this red Reba wig. And anyway, she laughed, and she could have just as easily rolled her eyes, but she laughed. So, yeah, I've interviewed Reba and Dolly. Loretta Lynn.
Lynn was just here at the Newbury Opera House a couple, three weeks
and
ago.
And I asked her how she thought a coal miner's daughter went with Sissy Spacek, and she thought that Sissy was just dynamite. And, of course, Sissy sang her own songs, and, you know, that's pretty a tough act to follow, Loretta
Absolutely.
Lynn. But Loretta gave me a big hug, too, and I like that one also.
You like that
I collect
one.
Hugs,
You collect them? All right. Well, let's
collect
hope
the
we
whole
can't
set.
Give you a hug
Thank
before you,
you
leave.
That would be very nice. I would like that.
All right. But, as far as Loretta Lynn, can you believe she is still performing today?
No. Of all that she's been through in her life and all the heartaches and the ups and downs and the physical strain of traveling, she has become a real trooper. But I must say that to meet her in person, she doesn't look her age. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I know that whatever it is, it's older than she looks.
Yeah.
She looks good. She really does.
Yeah. She does a phenomenal job, and of course that song Uncle Sam about taking my man to Uncle Sam, and you know there's no return and this type of thing. That was a great song, and she always got into those controversial issues where so many people have stayed away from them.
It's interesting to watch the evolution of Loretta Lynn, because she started out, of course, as this shy, precocious kid that Mooney sort of had to lead around by the hand. She didn't know which way was up or what to do next, And she has developed into a very strong woman over the years. She's learned her way, and I don't think anybody's telling Loretta Lynn what to do or where to go anymore.
I don't think so. Well, Jim, I know you've got to get back on the road again, and I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come by and see us.
I wouldn't miss it, Ann. And I got to tell you folks out there that if you, for some reason, have not had a chance to come by, this is the only radio station I've ever been in that has jewelry. And nice jewelry, the Sharp Passage here on the bypass. And you ought to come in and check it out. Seriously, it's a great selection. And I must tell you that the inventory is going to be a little lighter when I leave because we're getting some stuff for my wife here. So you better hurry up before I empty the place out.
All right. Well, it is Mother's Day weekend. That's right, guys.
That's right.
You've got up till 2 o'clock to get in here and get a deal and a bargain here today. But, Andy, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Let's play some music. I'm going to go see how I can tally that sheet that Jim's wife has been picking out here. Make sure I give him a super deal. And thanks so much for coming by today, Jim.
Thank you, Ann. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll be back. Don't you go away.